Happy National Radio Day.
Just, it's so hard to believe it's finally here.
Have you ever heard of this before?
I have not.
I have never heard of this.
And yet, look at you reaping the benefits.
I just wanted an excuse to play Elvis Costello if you want to know the truth.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. You know that. You can call anytime during the show if you want. You can text anytime during the show if you want. Wasn't it interesting to see the complexion of the people we work with yesterday on the slight chance that they might see John Travolta?
Oh, my God. It was mayhem around here. Were you still here when he came in?
I was.
Did you try and meet him?
I did not.
All right, because I guess I heard he was going to be on with Roe after 5.
Yes.
So I didn't think for a minute our paths would cross.
You didn't know they were pre-taping the interview and that he would be in the building.
It's a radio secret.
Oh. You didn't know that John Travolta likes to show up to interviews 3.5 hours early.
I did not know that.
That's his MO.
But I was listening to John Williams on the way home, and Elif Garris, his producer, was adorable, trying to get to meet him, and John giving her ideas like, we have a jar of Jardiniere, give it to him. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's in Chicago, and then he backed down and said, no, I guess you don't want. She just wanted to shake his hand.
Sure.
Missed the opportunity because she was on the phone with John.
Oh.
He felt so bad. It was great radio. That's all I have to tell you.
So were you imagining a scenario once you found out that we were on the same floor, the same building? Were you imagining a scenario of what you will say when and if you see him, or did you just not play that game?
I was already gone, but you know me, I like to go up to these people and do the taglines.
There was some overlap. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Before he taped his I know I'm ruining the magic of radio on Radio Day, the worst day to ruin the magic of radio.
Shame on you, Bill Leff.
But before he did his, what might or might not be a pre-taped interview with Roe and his show, Richard Roper had an interview with him while you were still here.
Oh.
So there was a little bit of overlap.
I should have just busted right into the Roper interview.
Right.
Hey, Rich.
Hey.
Yeah, you used to do a great impression of Richard Roper.
A long time ago I did. But it would have been fun to have, you know, had a word or two with him. But it was just interesting the way everybody handled it differently around the station. Some people were very excited and thought he might walk by. Other people are like,
who was like that? Yeah. Name one person other than you.
I cannot.
I wasn't that. I mean, I
will not.
I would have been happy to say hello to him, but
right.
I don't get and it's kind of interesting because he's been with me my whole life.
Yep.
Going back to Welcome Back, Cotton.
Vinny Barbarino.
One of the first rated R movies I saw, but I mean, I didn't get, there was an elevated sort of temperature around
no
here, which I didn't quite understand.
No extra excitement, Steve, at all?
Extra excitement? I mean, I would love to meet. I like meeting people, but
yeah,
it's John Flipping Travolta.
His middle name is not Flipping.
He changed it.
He did?
Yeah.
I'm really bummed I wasn't here.
Mary, you're the one he asked for.
Actually, wouldn't
no, I was at jury duty. Oh, man.
Did you get picked?
Well, I kind of did. I don't know. I mean, I got picked to get questioned, and then I didn't get final picked.
No.
But I still have to go back maybe this week. It's a week-long duty thing. I have to call because it's federal.
Okay, wait a minute, though. You already went.
I did go yesterday. And
they
said at the end
you?
Of the day, no, they said you're dismissed for Tuesday, but after 5 p.m. Tuesday, you have to call in again to see if you have to show up Wednesday. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That seems crazy.
Yeah, we're all like,
because it's federal, that's why.
Because it's federal.
Are you hoping to get an alderman or senator? Who do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm-hmm.
I went and wanted to go, and I waited there, and they released us and said, sorry, no courts are in session today. See you later. You're all excused. Get your $14.
Mm.
I'm like, darn it.
And then you went boat shopping.
I did.
$14?
This is big. Federal. This is 50 bucks.
Oh, Mary.
Oh.
Wow.
Ooh. Explains the deficit.
I'd make a great juror.
I know, really.
You know.
I mean, all the people they let go yesterday, there were probably 200 people there and 14 got picked.
You wouldn't just make a great juror. If you weren't the foreman, I'd be very disappointed.
I'm sorry. You're right.
You'd have to be the foreman.
You might end up the prosecutor.
When I get into something, I get...
You dive in the deep end.
I do.
I know.
It was just fascinating to me, though, to see all these people, all the diversity, and just every, you know, you looked at a person, and before they stood up to say what they did for a living, you were trying to guess.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was. I was like, that person looks like, you know.
Were you usually right or usually wrong?
No, I was like way off with half these people.
Yeah. So. What were the questions they asked you to see if you would be a good juror?
I don't think I can divulge that.
Oh, you can't?
No, I think I can.
You can.
Federal case.
Yeah.
Don't make a federal case out of it.
It was a criminal case, I can say that. It would have been a criminal case. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
But can you give us one question?
Well, name, spell your last name, age.
Always a trick question.
You know, occupation. We had to do occupations of all of our kids. If you had
really?
Kids, your spouse, anybody you lived with.
Because they didn't want
because
somebody with a similar occupation?
I think
so. You wouldn't
so.
Have preconceived notions
about
that
person. I don't know. It was tricky. There were FBI agents there. It was really
cool.
Oh, wow. It was cool. I mean,
did they ask if you were in the media at all? Because I know...
Well, I had to say I was because I had to say what I did.
Oh, that's right.
And then after the applause died down, what happened?
They're like, oh, it's her. No. No. Because I had I have a different last name legally. So, you know, I don't think anybody knew who I was or cared, really.
Because when I worked at The Loop many years ago, I worked overnights and I went to jury duty and I made it to the courtroom where they question you. And I was like, this is it. And so the judge said, in the old days, I think you could say you were in media and they would dismiss you right away.
Really? Not anymore.
Yeah. So I said, you know, I work in radio. What do you do? I said, I'm a rock jock. I play music overnight. And he goes, overnight? Does that mean that you worked all night and then came to jury duty? And I said, yeah. He goes, you are going to be the worst juror ever. You're going to be falling asleep. And he like yelled at me and he said, you're dismissed.
That's unfair.
I know. He was mean to me.
Wow.
He doesn't know what a great juror I would have made.
Is it too late?
Made.
Can we all write you a letter of recommendation?
No, but that was my first visit with trying to be a juror, and it was not a very pleasurable first impression.
Can you see the trial, Bill? Your Honor, the state's attorney had some nice questions, but I'd like to ask a few of the witnesses myself.
Right. I'm just curious about a couple of things. Right.
You know, working overnight, you did it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can figure out a way how to stay awake.
Yeah, absolutely you can.
I missed my opportunity.
But there were jurors that had job interviews that day, and, you know, and kids in college.
Yeah.
They couldn't go back to school.
Well, one kid, he didn't have to go back till Monday, but he was there, you know. So it was really interesting.
But he was going to be disqualified immediately, right?
Oh, no.
If you say you go to school next week?
I can't divulge.
You can't say.
I don't think it's easy to be disqualified anymore. I mean...
No, they don't give you a reason either. I mean, you have no idea why you were caught.
So if I showed up dressed like Raggedy Ann, they wouldn't disqualify me?
No, but it's funny because aren't you the one that always suggests when you get there to, like, say something really crazy or silly?
What time is the case?
I won't get into her, but she was a little crazy.
What did she say?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, come on. You can't tease us like that.
I don't know. She just said she was very politically active.
Well,
yeah, something
but,
like
but
that.
But she was more specific than that?
Yeah, she kind of got into it a little more after that. Then they question you afterwards in a little huddle if they want to bring you back in. The lawyers question you individually even more.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that.
Well, I hope if you want it, Mary, I hope you get it. You want it, right?
Oh, no, it's done.
You don't? Oh, it's
done? I didn't
done?
Get it, but
you
now I could be picked for another case, so I have to call again tonight, and I might have to go back tomorrow, so I might not be here tomorrow. I don't know. It's very...
I love that huddle. 1, 2, 3, convict!
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, not guilty.
They put on the noise. They put on what's the noise thing?
White
noise machine. They put it on while they huddle.
To relax you?
No,
well,
so people can't
talk.
Hear.
Oh.
Because it's so quiet in there.
We should run that during our show.
I'm not used to all the quietness. It was very uncomfortable for me. I needed noise.
Yeah.
I thought this was the white noise.
That was the original name of the show. They changed it at the last minute.
I'm like, does anybody talk in here? I'm like, we need some, you know, conversation.
Right, right.
It's too quiet.
All right, let's take a little break, and then there's a lot more show coming your way next. Oh, we've got Blackhawks tickets for you. That's coming up before the show is over. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Just a couple quick things before the news. We were talking about John Travolta, who was up at the station yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to hear the interview, Ro interviewed him yesterday. You can go to WGN.com, WGNradio.com, and find a podcast of yesterday's show. A texter wants us to know that John Travolta is in town for two things, to publicize a new movie that he has coming out in a few weeks, and also he'll be appearing at Wizard World Comic-Con in Rosemont And he said it's very affordable to get his autograph. A lot of times when you go to Wizard World, sometimes the autographs are more expensive or less expensive. Apparently, John Travolta's autograph is not that expensive. So good. If you're a fan of his, go meet him.
What's he doing there for Wizard World?
Well, he's been in a bunch of movies that would kind of fit, like Pulp Fiction. It's the 25th anniversary of Pulp Fiction, so maybe he's pushing that a little bit. Several years ago, my wife is and was close friends with John's sister, Margaret, who did voiceovers here in town for years and years. So Margaret asked Terry, my wife, to go to a taping of Oprah's show. She was going to have John on as a guest. So Terry and Margaret hung out with John the whole time before, during, and after the show. And Terry said it was fascinating to see people's reaction if they didn't expect John Travolta to be walking down a hall or an elevator door opened, and there's John. She said over and over and over again, the reaction was the same. People would scream. Women and men alike, they would just see him, and instead of saying something like, I'm a big fan, or I've always wanted to meet you, they would just scream.
That's so weird. It's like the Beatles.
You know who was guilty of it? Sometimes when Oprah would tape her shows, she would tape two in a day. So the day that John Travolta was on as a guest, Whitney Houston was the guest during the other day's show that they taped on the same day. And she walked into the dressing room, not expecting John Travolta to be there, but there he was in the green room. And she screamed, Whitney Houston, who probably elicited a scream or two in her lifetime. But all of a sudden, she was seeing John Travolta and she couldn't believe it.
It's so weird when you meet someone that you idolize so much, because I get nervous when we talk to people from the music industry. I don't know why. I think it's because I don't want to look like a dork.
Oh.
With other people, I guess
you're
I don't really care, because actors probably see that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I just get really nervous with like musicians, big time musicians.
Do you also think it has something to do with, in Chicago, there's not just a glut of celebrities just floating around. Like in New York and Los Angeles, where on any given day you can see famous people and often do. In Chicago, it's a shock if you see anybody even remotely famous.
I've lived here my whole life. I grew up in Brookfield. I have never seen Oprah in public.
Oh, you haven't?
Ever.
No.
That's all I want in life.
And you guys hang out at all the same places. It's so strange. You wouldn't run into Oprah.
But wouldn't you think at some point you'd see Oprah at Target or something?
Well, I feel sorry for Oprah because I think the two of you would have been great friends.
Huge friends.
That's my line.
Giant friends.
I just love Oprah.
As you push Gayle King out of the way. Out of the way, GK. Out of the way.
Now, you'd see Stedman twice a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He was always everywhere.
Yep.
Hard not to see. I never saw him either.
You never saw Stedman?
I used to see him all the time.
He was all over the place.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, you tell me I saw here. No, I do vaguely remember us.
Yep.
I don't think we hung out with him, but
we did all night.
All night? Okay, all night.
For hours. And you don't remember.
At that bar by Water Tower place?
Yes.
I sort of remember. It's coming back to me. Hamana.
Twice I've seen George Lucas on the street, both times on Michigan Avenue. And I've been so apprehensive to just say a quick hello. I'm just like, he's right there. No, I can't do it.
I don't feel there's anything wrong. Buzz Killman ran into Tommy Lee Jones walking down the street.
Yeah.
Buzz loved him. And he didn't want to make a big deal about it. But as Buzz was passing him, he just pointed at him and went, big fan.
Oh.
And then walked
that's
away.
All it
and
takes.
That's kind of... Yeah. You just want to show, hey,
right.
I love you.
Right.
That's what I would say. And then they'd go, that's weird.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Stalker alert.
I know. All right. A break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. As I mentioned, we have a pair of Blackhawks tickets. Their tickets go on sale at noon today. But we thought, well, let's just give somebody a pair of tickets. Let's just go crazy and give somebody a pair of Blackhawks tickets. So that'll happen between now and noon. Have you, Wendy, ever on a vacation just taken a keepsake of the beach? Maybe some coral, maybe a seashell?
I did.
Have you done that?
From Marina Del Rey.
Oh, did you?
I took a shell home.
Yeah? Feel good about it?
Well,
it's
I didn't
there.
Think...
Why, you can take it,
actually,
right?
Actually, Michael took a shell. I took a worry stone.
Oh.
It was just this flat rock that you see at the beach a lot, just from the pounding of the waves.
Yep.
And, where did I put it? But I did bring it home.
You haven't? A French couple is facing up to 6 years in prison for removing sand from a beach in Sardinia.
I thought about taking it. I didn't really take it. I know where it is. It's back on the beach in Marina
del Rey. You're safe.
What?
The couple had been on vacation at a beach in Sardinia. The Italian Isles white sand is protected, and tourists face fines and even jail time if they remove any of the sand from the local beaches.
Well, think about it. If everybody took a handful of the white sand, there wouldn't be any sand.
There wouldn't be any more sand left.
Yeah, but think of the tourism dollars.
That's true. Steve, that's true. But the couple say that they did not realize they were committing a crime. You wouldn't think that was a crime. You would just think, well, there's lots of... Look at, there's sand in all directions. I'll just take some. It'll be fun. Police in the northern city of Porto Torres found the sand while making a routine check of cars that were waiting to board a ferry to Toulon, which is located in southern France. Sardinia fines sand thieves a total that can reach $3,480.
What if it's just stuck in your flip-flop?
Please tell me flip-flops are shoes. They are, right? Please?
Phil.
Please? They spotted some bottles filled with sand.
Excuse me. All right. I'm going to have to ask to see your flip-flops.
We used to call them thongs.
We did until the underwear came out.
Uh-huh. Yep. Changed everything.
Here comes the underwear.
All right, a bottle, so that was pretty obvious.
They spotted some bottles filled with sand through the window of the car, and they arrested the couple, a man and a woman who were in their 40s, according to CNN. Overall, 14 plastic bottles that contained 40 kilograms, that's roughly 88 pounds of white sand, were seized. That's a lot of sand.
And again, if everybody did that, there'd be no sand left. What's under the sand?
I don't know.
Would it just be dirt?
Yeah, eventually, right?
So they clearly were going to sell it somehow.
That's what I'm wondering, Steve. Is there a market for that?
Let me look on eBay.
I don't know if there's any kind of market for that. I mean, I guess you can buy and sell pretty much anything, but are there people who value that much? But that's a huge amount of sand.
How much would you pay for a bottle of white sand from Sardinia?
Not so much.
Oh, beach sand for sale on eBay.
What's it going for?
Well, there's Alabama orange beach sand. That's only $1.
Yeah, very inexpensive.
Aruba palm beach sand. Who buys this?
I wouldn't think you could tell just by looking at it. Even the best of the sand experts couldn't just look at it and identify its location, right?
No, but it has a label on it, and I believe everybody.
Yeah, if you label it, then you got something. The couple were reported to a court in the city of Sassari for aggravated theft.
Sassari. I didn't mean to take
it. That's what they said, right. That was their defense. They were charged with aggravated theft. Well, now they're aggravated. In the early part of the story, they weren't aggravated at all. They could risk a fine of up to $3,300, and here's the best part: it would be between 1 and 6 years of imprisonment.
All right, they're not going to jail.
I would hope not.
And the fine, maybe if you're aware, are there signs up? Please do not take the sand.
Right, you'd have to. I think to be fair, you'd have to post those signs, right?
And you'd have to speak Sardinian.
Right.
If it's made aware that you're not supposed to take it, then they should be fined, or else everybody's going to keep taking it.
But that much?
Better than jail.
That's an insane amount of money. Well, the jail part is the worst part, but $3,300 for taking sand. Police told CNN that the tourists said that they were unaware of the laws about removing sand, but noted that the island's beaches have signs in several languages which inform the visitors. Theft of white sand and rocks from Sardinia's beaches is very common, this according to a police officer, and there is an illegal market for them on the internet.
Really?
Yeah. Try the dark web, Wendy. See what it says on the dark web. You're on the regular web. Push that button that it says DW.
Yeah.
Dark web.
Devil Bay.
Yeah. Devil
Instead
Bay.
Instead of eBay.
Yeah. Go to Devil Bay. The people of Sardinia are very angry with tourists that steal shells and sand because it's theft from future generations, and it also puts a delicate environment in, said the officer. Page 2. Sand thieves are usually picked up at airports because of bag searches by scanners. There's a Facebook page. It's written in Italian, so I don't know. It's Sardinia Rubata.
Looky here!
Yeah, that's the translation, is looky here. It says, Sardinia robbed and plundered. This was set up by a group of security officers from the island's airports. They have campaigns about the depletion regarding Sardinia's beaches. So obviously, it's a very, very serious matter in Sardinia. I understand that. And you're right. If everybody took just a little bit of it, where would we be? But 1 to 6 years in prison and $3,300 fine seems very stiff to me.
It does. But I think I read that they have like 3 million tourists each year.
Oh.
So if 3 million people took sand.
Yeah, even a little bit.
There'd be no beach.
Right. So true. All right. We will take a quick break. When we return, it is Tech Tuesday. So we'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET and find out what's going on in the world of technology.
Hey, that music means it is a Tech Tuesday, Bill. And on the line with us right now is CNET. Bridget, what are you now at CNET now that you're back from maternity leave?
I'm Mother Supreme now.
Mother Supreme. Wow.
You're a
Congrats.
Senior editor over at CNET, correct?
Yeah, I'm a senior editor over here. I'm getting my hands in all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, good to have you back. And Facebook, has everybody been getting this private message saying you are in this video, and then you click on it, and then just clicking on it is not a problem, is it? You have to download it or log in or give them your credentials, and then all your contacts get this video thing, too. What's going on with Facebook?
Okay, this happened to one of you guys? 'Cause, like,
100 times. I got, like, five of them.
Yeah, it happens every so often, and this is what when you hear about phishing schemes, this is what it is. It's basically something that kind of makes you emotionally jolted, like, what? I'm in something? What? And they click this link without thinking it through because it makes you kind of startled. Then it sends you to a website that looks like a login page for Facebook or your bank or insert website here, and you quickly throw in your username and password, and you're just giving it to someone else, and it's not really Facebook. And so then that person kind of takes over your account and sends more of this junk out and hijacks other people's accounts, and it's just a mess.
So, Bridget, if you get this, what's your next best move?
Well, if you get this, you're still fine as long as you don't, you know, click it and give someone your password and username.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, you never know what can happen nowadays with just clicking a link. Sometimes a website, as it loads, can download something onto your PC. Those are pretty malicious ones. So still, take caution before clicking. Don't, you know, think before you click. But at the very least, if something's telling you to enter your password to log in, you know, pull the brakes and take a close look at that URL address, and then it doesn't look shady. Because or just open up a whole new browser window, or open up your app separately, and then log in that way. And then that's also a safer way.
But how will I know if people have videos with me in them?
Whatever they have, no one
that,
wants
right?
to see, trust me. I also just got a text about a half an hour ago, and this is all news to me. It was a text saying, hey, an installment, you can get up to $5,000, and then there's a website to take you to a loan place. And I looked, and it was sent to 20 other people. So now people are not only doing the robocalls, they're doing the robo-texting. And here's the weird thing, Bridget. I think I saw something on CNET. If not, it was somewhere else where it says, check if you're on the do not call list. And I looked and saw what the link was, but then I did it myself. It's like donotcall.gov. And I believe it if it has a .gov, I hope.
Yes, you have it right. Yeah.
Okay, but I still didn't take the link that was in this article. I did it on my own, and it says, check if you have registered for the Do Not Call. And I checked it, and it says, you successfully registered your phone number on September 26, 2003. Most telemarketers will be required to stop calling you 31 days from your registration date. So why am I still getting this? And tons of them.
I have some bad news for you, Wendy.
Oh, did I just put my number out for a website for everybody to call me?
No. You did the right thing. But bad people, they don't follow rules. And so it's kind of a, it's just a fact of life now. And I am on these lists, the list really doesn't do much for any corporation or just scammer, really, that doesn't care to follow the rules. They're not going to follow some list. You know, sure, it might stop you getting spam from, you know, a really big, well-known company. But for the most part, if they're trying to, you know, get you quickly, they have phone numbers that disappear and they don't care about any list, that they're just buying numbers in bulk and trying to see if they can get someone to take the bait. And they're not going to follow any sort of list or any sort of rules. And so that's why you have agencies like the FCC and the FTC trying to go after these folks. But they're slippery, and it's hard to even catch where the calls and texts are coming from. Sometimes they're from other countries, and they're looking like they're from the U.S. So when it comes in, it's like, okay, that's an area code in my neighborhood, but really it's faked through technology that they can make it, even though they're coming from China or wherever, they can still make it look like it's coming from Chicago.
It's usually your area code in the first three digits of your phone number, so then you go, oh, it must be someone right near me, even though cell phones don't work that way.
Exactly. You know, so there is work being done to try to make, you know, spoofing is what it's called, illegal, that faking of the phone number. But once again, who's going to follow that rule if you're already doing this business?
Bad people do bad things, Wendy. Bridget taught me that.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. Bridget, you're going.
No,
Wendy.
I just want to say real quickly, there has been times where, you know, I get this these calls and I just block them. It's very easy to do on your iPhone. But there was one day that I called this number back just to yell at them. And it was some innocent woman who didn't speak English very well, who had no idea what I was talking about, which means it really wasn't her number that called me. It was a fake number that they made up. And then I found myself apologizing to yelling and swearing at the woman.
Sure.
There's even a scam where I've been getting a lot of international calls, and they only call for half a second. And you think, what? Did I miss this call? And you call back, and they're charging you for the phone call. And they're keeping you on the line by sounding mysterious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one's a real pain in the butt. Yeah.
Bridget, you have some news about burner phones, and I only know about burner phones because I watch a lot of TV and a lot of movies, and the bad guys always have burner phones. What can you tell us?
I think the concept of a burner phone, we should say, for anyone who's not cool like you and watching a lot of TV, you know, is the idea that you could just have a throwaway phone number that you, like, you know, just rent, or you get a quick phone on the go. There's a fashion company, you may know them, Supreme. They're pretty hot. They announced their fall winter catalog, and in all the accessories and clothing is a phone that's labeled Supreme, and it's just a little candy brick phone, like the kind we had, in the early 2000s, where it's just, you know, a small screen, some keys, it doesn't flip, it doesn't have any touch about it, and the point is, it just takes calls and texts. There's no apps, and it's funny because they're, you know, it's going to be hard to get. You can only buy it this week in London, L.A., New York, Paris. So they're trying to make it fashionable. But that said, wow, why is it in fashion to have a budget phone? Because we're tired of being bombarded with alerts and Instagram and Facebook. And
you should get a burner.
I'm going to get a burner phone. I am.
Yeah,
so, there's a mystique to it.
If you get one of these, though, I will say, like, the like, I'm not as cool as I used to be, but our resident cool person here is telling me that it's going to be hard to get, and the resale value is probably going to be like $500 just because of the brand name on it. You know, it's kind of like just having something that has a cool brand name on it.
I get a burner mailbox?
Get a P.O. box.
I'm going to get a burner P.O. box. That's cool.
And finally, we have a coworker here, Pete Zimmerman, who on Instagram likes everything. He hits the little heart on everything you post. So if he doesn't on something, you think you have done something wrong, because he likes everything. There's a lot of pressure for those likes. What's going on with Instagram?
They are running this test right now in a bunch of countries, not the U.S., but in Canada, Japan, Brazil, Australia, where they're making it so other people cannot see how many likes a photo got. You, as the owner of the photo, of the account, can see it on your end if you got like 15 or 500 likes. But the rest of the world, there's no counter. There's no number on there. So there's less pressure for some young people to feel like a certain photo might validate their existence, which can you imagine the kind of pressures and emotional roller coaster we all went through in our teens, much less to know if what I did was cool or not because I got 20 likes or 100 likes. So it's become an unhealthy situation, I think, on Instagram, and they're doing a test right now. It's not for us, but it's starting, and I would like to see it, you know, implemented everywhere, honestly, because I think we don't need to be a slave to the like.
It's going to put Pete Zimmerman out of business, though. I hope you're happy.
And I worry that people are going to take a screen grab of how many likes they have and then post that.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There will be that. People who are influencers will still be able to say, I have this many likes. And but at least when you send a like, when your colleague sends a like, he's doing it just because he wants to send some good vibes, and you don't have to feel the pressure yourself if the photo you pick is something that is something you genuinely like or something you think will get a lot of likes. And so I'll post this one in this color because I know it'll get more reaction. Maybe you could just actually live and share normal and not have so much pressure, you know?
That's Bridget Carey from CNET. Bridget, we'll talk to you next week. We'll call you from my burner phone, okay?
I hope so.
That'll be fun. Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks, Bridget.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Today at noon, Blackhawks tickets go on sale for the upcoming season. Go get yourself some Blackhawks tickets. Boy, that's a good time. We've got a pair of tickets to give to you.
Yeah, we got good stuff here, Bill. A pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks face the Edmonton Oilers on Monday, October 14th. Blackhawks single game tickets do go on sale today at 12 noon, so we're just about there. Over 20 game day giveaways, 5 2010 anniversary celebration nights, 3 alternate jersey nights. Bill, this is for you. A retro hat series.
Oh,
I love the Blackhawks
nice
hats, those winter hats that they give out. Love them.
How retro are the hats, does it say? I'd like to have a Blackhawks top hat. Wouldn't that look stylish?
On no one. Community nights, theme tickets, offers,
tell Calvin
and more.
Coolidge that. Calvin Coolidge and I are going to a game and we're going to wear top hats. Then who'll look silly?
I'm going to let you answer that one yourself. You can visit Blackhawks.com for more ticket information. Today, noon, single game tickets go on sale. Yes. But we have a pair to give away right now for the Monday, October 14th game, Blackhawks, Oilers. How do you want to do it?
I have a question, a Blackhawks trivia question that I will ask. But first, the history of this question. A lot of times when I come up with questions like these, I'm accused of making the questions too difficult. So I came up with a question that I thought was kind of sort of difficult, not overly difficult, and I ran it past Steve Bertrand, who said, and I quote, I'm not going to know this. I'm not good with hockey trivia. He got the answer before I was done with the question.
Bertrand,
yes.
Gosh,
yes.
Good work.
But then he wanted the tickets.
No, that doesn't work that way.
We can't do it that way. No. All right, so all we need you to do is call us right now at 312-981-7200. We will go line by line by line, caller by caller by caller. I'll ask the same trivia question to everybody. The first person who gets it right wins the tickets.
All right, and people have called in 312-981-7200. We'll begin with caller number one. Chris, you can take it all.
Okay.
You're a Hawks fan?
I'm ready.
All right. Here goes, Chris. Oh, answer Wendy's question, too. It's a good one. Are you a big Blackhawks fan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? How many games did you go to last year? That's not the trivia question.
No, but
I went to like 3.
Yeah, that would have been too easy to make that the trivia question.
And listen to me, I am a huge Blackhawks fan, and I did not know the answer to this.
Right.
I feel stupid.
Right?
Is this an old question, like going back to the 50s or something?
No, a while ago, but not quite the 50s. All right, I'll ask you the question. See how you do. I have a feeling, Chris, you have a very good chance at this. I can tell. Here
and
goes.
I hate to put the pressure on, but if Steve Bertrand got it,
oh, Wendy.
But I didn't, so. All right, Chris, good luck.
Here goes, Chris. The question is this. Defenseman Doug Wilson was the last member of the Chicago Blackhawks to do this. To do what?
Last member of the Blackhawks to do it, or last member of the NHL?
Last member of the Chicago Blackhawks to do this. What is it? I need a quick answer.
5-4-3.
That's defenseman score a goal.
Nope.
Sorry, Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
Moves on to Don from Crown Point. Hey, Don.
Hi. He was the Norris Trophy winner?
He was not the Norris Trophy winner. Great guess, though.
Sorry. Nice thank try. You so much. Jeff is calling from McHenry. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Jeff, I will ask you the same question. Defenseman Doug Wilson was the last member of the Chicago Blackhawks to do this. To do what?
Score a hat trick.
Nope. It is not score a hat trick. Thank you,
thank
though.
You, Jeff. We move on to Carmen, who's calling from Crystal Lake.
Man, I don't know. We're going to go with Conn Smythe.
Conn Smythe award winner? Are you saying the Conn Smythe award winner?
Yeah.
Nope.
I knew you were going to do that. Sorry, Carmen. How in the world did Bertrand know this?
He got it before I was finished answering. I didn't even finish the question and Steve Bertrand got it.
Rick from Des Plaines. Hey, Rick.
Not wear a helmet.
You say that defenseman Doug Wilson was the last Blackhawk to not wear a helmet?
Correct.
That's the right answer.
Wow!
Bing, 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 bing.
I called you guys before. Three out of my four kids are named after Blackhawk players. One of them is a girl, and she's 26. So
her name is 26?
No, she is 26.
So what are their names?
Jocelyn, after Jocelyn Lemieux.
Yep. Yeah.
Jeremy. Shouldn't have to explain that.
Ronick.
Yeah.
And my son, his name, I had to compromise with his mother. I want to name him after the great Al Secord, and it's Nathan-L.
Oh, nice.
Aww.
What happened to the child you didn't name after a Blackhawk? What happened there?
She's the biggest Blackhawk fan out of all of them. Oh. So, you know, I don't know.
Wow. She can still change her name.
Yeah.
No, we left her name as it is, so.
All right, well, you are a perfect winner, Rick. Rick from Des Plaines has walked away, so a little history on this question.
Steve Bertrand got it before the question was even asked. I don't know how he did it, but it takes a true Blackhawks fan to know this. Doug Wilson, defenseman Doug Wilson, years ago, was the last member of the Blackhawks to play a game without wearing a helmet.
Wow. That's brave?
Very brave. Well, they made a rule at some point where they grandfathered guys in who were already in the NHL. If they didn't want to wear a helmet, they didn't have to, but all new players had to. And Doug Wilson played for years beyond that rule, so he just didn't feel comfortable wearing a helmet.
Well, Rick, you scored yourself a pair of tickets. So you're going to have to decide which one of your Blackhawk fan family members you're going to bring. But the Hawks facing the Edmonton Oilers on Monday, October 14th. Keep that date in your calendar and hang on, and we'll set you up.
I will. That's the day before my birthday, so thank you.
That worked out perfect. And I have the final score, Blackhawks 5, Edmonton 2. Exciting game.
No, 73-0, my friend.
Wow.
All right, Rick, hang on. We'll get your details. Blackhawks single games tickets go on sale today at noon, so about 45 minutes from now, over 20 game day giveaways. They have 5 2010 anniversary celebration nights, 3 alternate jersey nights, retro hat series that Bill's looking forward to, community nights, theme tickets, offers, and more. You can go to blackhawks.com for more ticket information today. Congratulations.
Take a break, Wendy. We need a break, and then we'll come back and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Tonight, the Chicago White Sox.
The Minnesota Twins.
Andy Mazur has the pregame at 6:35. This is Ed Farmer. Darren Jackson and I have the first pitch at 7:10.
Chicago is proud of you.
Sox play tonight on 7:20 WGN.
Hi, it's Lou Manfredini with Mike Gilkey, president and owner of the Gilkey Window Company.
Hi, Lou.
Mike, how about this crazy Chicago weather?
It can be pretty extreme.
More like extremely extreme.
That's why we manufacture Gilkey windows to stand up to any weather.
Gilkey windows have been independently verified to be among the most energy efficient windows in the country, right?
That's true. And they eliminate the transmission of nearly all UV radiation.
Well, that makes sense to me. And the fact that you sell Gilkey windows directly to consumers means that there are no middlemen marking up your product. Right now, get up to 35% off Gilkey windows and entry and patio doors, or up to 5 years no interest financing. Choose vinyl or choose fiberglass. Just be sure to choose Gilkey. Visit Gilkey.com to learn more. Or call 888-3-GILKEY. That's 888-3-GILKEY.
would you like to put an extra $10,000 to $15,000 in your pocket every single month? Hi, I'm Nick Fertucci, and not that long ago, I was a first responder struggling to make ends meet, and I was in major debt with a wife and three girls to feed. Then I developed my flipping houses formula, and now I'm financially free. As a first responder, I protected countless lives, and now I protect financial lives, and I want to help you too. For a limited time, I'd like to give anyone that calls a free copy of my house flipping 101 kit. In this kit, I'll show you how to flip one house in the Chicago area. With my proven formula, you won't need cash or credit. You'll just need access to my massive network of real estate investors looking to invest.
Text your zip code to 62,000 right now for free VIP tickets and a copy of Nick's proven house flipping 101 kit. If you've ever considered flipping houses as your path to financial freedom, text your zip code to 62,000 now for your free VIP tickets and house flipping 101 kit. Text your zip code to 62,000. That's your zip code to 62,000 now.
Fix your outdoor furniture once and for all. By the Yard has been replacing weathered and broken outdoor furniture since 1995. Be the next to replace your worn-out patio furniture with the longest-lasting, maintenance-free furniture from By the Yard during our last blast of summer sale. Save on furniture store-wide now through Labor Day. Visit our showrooms in Vernon Hills or Yorktown Center in Lombard to see over 350 designs. Go to bytheyard.net for hours and locations.
Whether it's checkups, sports physicals, or dental and vision screenings, Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic is your family's home for back to school. Located in Downers Grove, they offer a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience. At Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic, you will receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. You can learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It all takes place weekdays from 4 till 10.
Can we play video games for the rest of the day?
Sure, of course. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Don't forget, at noon, we head over to the stream. It's the bonus hour. Always a good time. Come and join us there, or you could listen to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch. You have two great options. Did you see this? There's another optical illusion that is baffling people on the internet.
I love these.
The first one was the dress that was either one color or another color. Remember that one?
Yeah.
They showed a dress, and some people thought it was one color, but other
gold,
people
went, no, another one said it's blue or
right.
Something like that.
And if you strained your eyes just enough...
No, I only saw
the
one.
You can only see one?
Yeah.
It took some time for me, but after a while, I'm like, oh, I do see the other color.
I did
not. How did that happen? And then the other one was somebody that was saying a name.
Oh, yeah!
And some people thought it was one name, and then other people went, no, that's not even close. It's this name.
What was that, you guys? Come on.
Yanni and Laurel?
Yes.
Yes.
I am so disappointed in the two of us for not remembering that. The things in life that matter, we are here to remember.
I know. Well, the new one, I think, is as interesting, if not more, than the first two.
I love these.
There's a video of a guy stroking an animal. And if you look at the animal from one direction, it looks like it's a rabbit. But if you look at it from the other direction, it looks like it's a raven. It's facing either left or to the right, and if you see it facing to the left, you're looking at a rabbit. The two top parts are the rabbit's ears, and then he's stroking where the nose is. But if you look at it going the exact opposite way, it looks like it's a raven, and those two top parts that would be the rabbit's ears are really its mouth, its beak. Have you seen this video at all?
No.
I hope I'm describing it accurately. I'm trying my best to describe it. We'll put a video of it. If you've not seen this, we'll put a video up on our Facebook page on the Bill and Wendy Show on WGN. You can see it there. But it's very confusing because you can certainly see. This one's very easy to see both sides of it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think it is? Is it a rabbit or a raven?
A raven.
That's so raven.
That was Jimmy Mack's guilty pleasure. I used to walk in the Star Wars room and he'd be watching that. I said, what are you watching? Nothing. Is that so Raven?
He was right.
That's totally a raven because you can really see the pointy part of the beak.
I'm also in Camp Raven, but I heard people making great arguments for it being a rabbit.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it both ways.
A video of an animal being stroked has sparked a debate over whether or not it's showing a raven or a rabbit. The video was shared by podcaster Dan Quintana on Sunday with the caption, "Rabbits love getting stroked on their nose, but many people question whether it showed the nose of a rabbit being rubbed or the back of a bird's head. The beak appears to resemble a rabbit's ears." I know if you've not seen this picture and you're hearing this, you say to yourself, it's got to be very easy to distinguish which is which. A rabbit and a raven don't even look close. But just the angle it's shown at and its reaction to the stroking, you can see it being either or. As ever, the debate produced some incredible results on Twitter after the footage was seen by more than a million viewers. One person shared a drawing of a line graph with rabbit and raven written on either side, but another used to modify it and added, "It's some kind of a dragon."
What?
Mm.
Get the Rorschach test for that person. Right. I will say this, as I've had a rabbit and I've had a pet bird as well, there is no nose twitching. Now, I know it's kind of out of the picture, but you would definitely see a bunny's nose twitching.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, technically, if you look at it, a rabbit's ears wouldn't be coming, like one coming out of the side of its
right.
head. You know,
right.
It's a weird split where the beak is.
Right.
But I could see where you'd see both.
Can I say something that is either extremely profound or the dumbest thing I'll say all month?
Yanni.
All
right. Yes.
Why Yanni?
The Yanni and Laurel thing.
Oh. I think the reason that people are so fascinated by these, and we gave you a brief history, there have been others, but the most famous ones are the dress that's one of two different colors, or the name that's one of two different names, or now this animal that's one of two different animals. I think the reason that people are so fascinated by them is it's an allegory for what's going on politically.
We can escape.
Well, it's an escape, but what it is if you look at the big picture of politics in the country right now.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And people are seeing the exact same guy running the country. And some people say, this is the best president we've ever had. And other people are saying, this guy's a clown, right? And they're seeing the exact same guy. I think all these are a representation of that. A much lighter, more fun version of it.
I was just going to say.
A much
one's
more,
fun, one isn't.
Right. But you know what I mean? It's so baffling to us that people around us see the exact same
right.
thing, but a different version of it, and these are doing the same exact thing.
Wow, that was a very
was it profound
astute,
or stupid?
No,
somewhere in the
it
middle.
Was a very astute observation.
Yeah, I thought that immediately with the dress thing, where people are, there were people who were of like mind going, how can you see that color? It's obviously this color. And whenever people would argue over it, I go, it's the same argument that's going on with Trump in the White House.
But see, there's a definitive answer to these. There isn't a definitive answer to the other one. It's more of an opinion because the dress was blue and black.
I don't think these are. I don't think there's a well, to the animal one, there's definitely a definitive answer. But to the dress
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it was the actual color was eventually confirmed as blue and black. Even though I saw the gold and white, I never saw blue and black. There were several times that you saw a different shading that made it look that way.
Yeah.
But there was a definite answer. It was blue and black.
Oh, interesting. I never saw anyone come through with a definitive answer. I always thought it was just opinion on the dress.
Now, the Yanni and Laurel, I don't know what it was. And again, that was just skewing the tempo or the pitch or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really think it's profound and astute what
you
said.
Thank you.
Because it is confusing to me to look at something. I mean, I love these stupid like puzzles that come up on Facebook, too. Is this a boy sitting by a tree crying,
right.
or is it an old man
right.
having a scone?
That's the most I think that's the most famous one of all time, Wendy.
But at some point, you can go, oh, I do see both.
Yeah, could... That's the challenge. Is
that's
being
what's
able,
wrong with America right now, is we
see
can't
both.
See both.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. That's
I
it.
Am nominating you for the Nobel Peace Prize.
I don't have room for another Nobel Peace Prize. My Nobel Peace Prize closet's full. Thanks, though. I appreciate the effort.
I just like that.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and there's more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Eric.
I can't remember the high school that was just in the news for the first week of school where the girls were wearing the sleeveless tops.
Oh, right.
And they were forced. It was at Glenbard.
I'm not. I don't remember which direction of Glenbard it was.
It was Glenbard High School.
That sounds right, though.
And girls were wearing sleeveless tops, tank tops, and they showed on the news pictures of them, and none of them were very revealing. It's just that their shoulders were exposed.
Right.
And they were forced to put on a PE shirt, an orange shirt, to cover it, and they had to, their IDs were taken, and they had to go back into the office and get their IDs and confess their sins. But boys who wore tank tops...
Business as usual.
Yeah.
Nothing special.
And the dress code said something about no midriff. And I see that. There shouldn't be a midriff exposed or breasts or, you know, like cleavage.
Right.
But it said no shoulder shall be exposed, girls or boys. So why didn't they go against the boys?
Double standard.
It's very frustrating to me.
Yes.
There's another school outfit story in the news. Alabama. It's a different area there. Alabama high school senior Holly Geralds says her photo wasn't included in her yearbook because she decided when it was picture day to wear a tuxedo.
Oh.
So she wore a tuxedo. Geralds told CNN affiliate WVTM that the photographer provided by the school allowed her to take the picture in her tux when the Springville High School yearbook was published. Her photo was nowhere to be seen. So
what
the photographer
is their gripe with wearing a tuxedo.
Well, here's what's weird. She took it. The photographer took the picture, but then months later, the yearbook comes out. She's not in there, and instead, she was in the not pictured section.
That's a new section for me. I didn't know that. Sometimes in a yearbook. It would say, like, if you were sick the day they took pictures, it would say photo not available by that guy or girl's.
That's exactly what this is. Ours said not pictured.
They had names. Oh, all right.
You didn't see, because I was just looking through my yearbooks, and it says not pictured, and it was a list of the students that didn't have their picture taken.
Ours was always, everybody's name was still in the alphabetical order, and they still had a slot where their picture would be, but instead of their picture being there, it's their name, and then it just says photo not available. Like where the photo would be. That's what they did every year.
That looks terrible.
Well, it was an incentive for people to be there on picture day. You didn't want to be one of the photo not available kids. You know, that would be the worst thing in the world.
Although, when you're signing everybody's yearbook, I would go to that spot and draw myself in and sign it there.
A cartoon version?
Well, she was in the not pictured section, which was just a list of names.
Yeah.
She said the option usually given to girls is to wear a drape while the boys are supposed to wear a tuxedo. She doesn't feel comfortable in feminine clothing. I get it. I like wearing pants and things like that.
Yeah.
She put on the tuxedo. She felt like it fit her. She said, I felt like this is right. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And she said she wasn't surprised that her photo wasn't included because she's not what people expect her to be.
Uh-huh.
Listen to me. It's not a statement. You can wear whatever you want. I know you can't wear, like, a swear word t-shirt.
Right.
But... I'm assuming this is a senior picture if guys were wearing tuxedos.
You would imagine, sure.
So what is the difference?
They're trying to... I don't agree with it, but the school is trying to avoid controversy, but what they're doing is they're jumping into controversy.
Amen.
But they're trying to say all guys should dress this way, all girls should dress this way. Is it a school that normally has uniforms, does it say?
No, it doesn't. It does say it's in Alabama. She said she's disappointed because she thinks her photo will not be featured in the hallway, as is tradition.
Yeah.
I felt like they're kind of erasing me from it because I'm not in this and I'm not going to be posted on the hallway for years and years to come.
Oh.
Now, St. Clair County School Superintendent Mike Howard released a statement on Friday saying the district is in the process of reevaluating the guidelines for senior portraits.
Yeah.
He said he was unable to comment on specific student matters. He said the school will be reprinting a page of the recent yearbook to correct misspelling of a student's name and to include all students, regardless of their wardrobe, according to the affiliate.
Oh.
So they gave in, but... I'm sorry, who is going to take that sheet home and insert it in their yearbook? They're going to go,
right.
Doesn't involve me, whatever.
But I agree with you, but it's their way of trying to find some compromise. The school obviously knows what they're doing is wrong, so it's the easiest way to compromise it, don't you think?
Yes.
I give them credit for that. I mean, they should have thought it out prior to the yearbook. It would have made a lot more sense.
But I guess enough people, you know, said, hey, that's not fair. Why do all the guys have to dress this way and all the girls have to dress that way?
All right. There was a time I went through a lot of posing fashion flair when
this
I
month,
was growing up.
No.
I mean, in the 80s, I would always go to Goodwill stores or Salvation Army, and I'd get men's jackets, and they were always with the shoulder pads and kind of bulky on me, and I'd honestly, almost all the time, it was with a black miniskirt, black leggings, and black ankle boots.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a phase. I look at pictures. It's laughable. At the time, I thought I was the stuff.
Sure.
I'll tell you that right now.
Sure.
There was also a time where, and Carla Felicia, our friend, former stand-up comic and TV writer, every time I bring up Carla, what was her attire?
Kind of similar to what you just described.
Well, she wore a suit coat and a tie.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And there was a part of high school, right out of high school, where that was very popular. Annie Hall was popular.
That's what I always think of, because I remember when Annie Hall came out, and that was such a big deal.
Yes,
that Diane Keaton was wearing mostly men's outfit, and it kind of revolutionized fashion for a little while.
Yeah.
You know? It did.
So when did it go backwards?
I think this is more about them. The school is trying to establish the fact that all guys this, all girls this. You know, I think that because for years that was just acceptable, but now that everybody's a little bit more open to interpretation, you know, maybe the school is just a little far behind in recognizing that. I do, I swear, I give them credit, even though they're just inserting this as an afterthought, I give them credit for realizing, I think a lot of schools in the same situation would try to fight it. The school realizes, okay, the times have changed a little bit, we have to change along with them.
Did you dress up for your high school pictures?
Yes.
Like a suit?
Yes.
All years?
Senior, of course. Senior year.
Well, yeah, because that...
Eighth grade and senior year,
They kind of talk you into it because they think, oh, you're going to need to send a headshot to your prospective college.
Right.
Which you don't.
Yeah, I don't remember having to do that.
Usually, girls will dress up, boys will wear suits, and then there's another picture of both of you in the gown.
Yes, yes.
But for prior years, did you ever dress up?
No. We weren't expected to. I mean, it was, you know, you'd wear like a nice sweater or something. You wouldn't just wear a t-shirt with, you know, my Fonzie t-shirt was not worn for the not for the school pictures. But you would dress nice, but not suit nice or dress nice.
Because that has caged up a bit now too.
Oh yeah,
Dylan last year wore a Beatles shirt in his high school picture, and this year it was the Who tour shirt that we got.
And does the school give
any
feedback? They don't care. They're fine with it? Yeah.
No. It's just, I love to watch the school photographer take their picture and then give you a picture of what Dylan was talking as they took it.
Oh.
And this is after they're like, put your head this way and your knees this way and your waist that way. It's like you're playing Twister when you're trying to smile for a picture. And he must have said something like, and his mouth is open.
And they went with that one.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all digital now, so the guy can look and just go, oh, you know what? Let's do this again.
Right.
I don't like school photographers. I'm sorry. They don't do a good job.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, Wendy.
Diane has called us. Hi, Diane.
Hi. How you doing?
We're good.
That's good. I was just wanting to weigh in on the dress code for schools.
Sure. What do you think?
I was in high school between 1960 and 64. And that was when miniskirts were coming in fashion.
Yeah.
And in school, the rule was the girls had to have the skirt above the knee, just above the knee. And if it looked too short, we had to kneel on the floor. And if the skirt didn't touch the floor, we were sent home to change.
Wow. Did that happen much?
Well, I guess when we wanted to get sent home for a little while.
Yeah, I'd wear a short skirt every day so I could go home and take a little breather.
Well, we would roll our skirts up a little bit at the waistband. And then if it looked too short, and okay, you have to leave and go home and change. So, but
I guess, but again, Diane, you were saying this was just when miniskirts were coming into fashion. So I get it. Now, I do see some girls walk to school with these really super short shorts. I don't know if that's good or bad, but, you know, boys can be trusted. They can learn when there's a girl wearing short shorts next to them, don't you think?
Sure, but I just, if it's a rule, it's a rule.
Yeah.
And if, you know, why can't you obey the rule unless you want to really cause problems?
I'm a rule follower. I really am. But I mean, yeah. I don't know.
She's one of the rules is being taken care of. She's wearing a tuxedo, as is their rule. It's just that she's the gender that isn't supposed to wear the tuxedo.
Yeah.
You've seen women dressed up in tuxedos at award shows and stuff.
Oh, many times.
It's not that weird.
Right. Right.
No.
Not at all.
All right. Well, yeah. Diane, thank you so much for calling. You can roll down your skirt right now.
Okay, thanks. I will.
Thanks. Not pull it down,
of course.
But she said she rolled it up so she could get a little break from school.
I know. I get it. All right, we'll take a break and then more discussion on this and other topics. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to weigh in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, you and I were talking about a girl from Alabama high school. She was a senior, Holly Geralds, and she was getting her picture taken. And the girls were supposed to wear a drape. Boys were supposed to wear a tuxedo.
A drape?
Yeah, I don't really know what that means. Is that their robe?
I'm not sure. I don't know that I've ever heard it described
Jasmine,
as a
you know?
Drape.
It's the thing that, like, covers your shoulders. It's like...
Like a shawl?
Yeah, like a shawl almost.
Why
yeah.
is it called a drape?
I don't know why they call it that.
Is it an Alabama thing? A drape?
Yeah, that's what... I went to school down there, so yeah, they call it a drape, but it really just drapes over your clothing.
Oh.
All right. So girls were supposed to wear that. Boys were supposed to wear tuxedos. This is their senior picture. And Holly Geralds said, you know what? I don't feel right wearing a feminine thing, so I'm going to put a tuxedo on. The photographer took her picture, and then when the yearbook came out, she was not pictured. However, the school says they are issuing, they're reprinting a page of the recent yearbook to correct misspelling of a student's name. And then they said that we're going to include all students regardless of their wardrobe. So they are trying to make amends, but
it's not the same.
It isn't. And Robert has called us. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. If they're having a problem or whatever, whatnot, I think those dress codes are, appropriate and stuff. But even during regular school year, you see a lot of young ladies that go to school, and it's amazing to see how they go to school. And I'm like, why? You know, they're wearing these clothes that are extremely too revealing. The short shorts, like you mentioned, the boys wearing, and I think personally, I've always said, I wish they would just all wear uniforms. Everybody.
Did you wear? Board. Robert, did you wear a uniform in school?
I didn't, but I think during my time, the early 80s, our dress code was a little bit different, I think. It's not as crazy. I mean, it was crazy because it consists of a lot of colors and just crazy stuff. But now it's more, I don't know, it's just more exotic, I guess. Women want to dress more exotic.
Right.
Some of the girls, even when my daughter just graduated, going to a graduation, I was like, is that a teacher or is that a student? Or is that a mother or is that... I didn't know who they were.
Robert, the reason I asked if you had worn them, almost everyone I know, myself included, if you ever spent any time in school wearing a uniform, you don't want to ever wear a uniform again. It's so
really?
Restricted. Yeah. And I understand the argument that it levels the playing field. I so get that, but I wore a uniform for 8 years and it was...
I tell you one, to correct myself, I did wear a uniform for 5 years in Catholic school.
And
there were brown pants and like a banana or a mustard yellow button up.
We had the same uniform.
Really?
Yeah.
And
I bet you've never worn those colors since, have you?
No, I have not. But you know what? I tell you what, though. I think it's a lot less distracting when you have so many kids that seems like they're... it almost seems like it's a battle of dresses or of how they dress,
sure.
like a fashion show, and it gets so out of hand.
Yeah, I know.
So many times kids get sent home because their dress is too short, or the blouse they're not wearing, or the boys they're dragging their pants or whatever, and that just creates so much the unnecessary that I think if they go 4 years with uniforms, okay, they dealt with it and they survived it, and that's it. But nonetheless, I think it kills a lot of, even with the bullying of, well, that girl's not wearing the right brand clothes and the clothes. And I think it kills a lot of that stuff. If they can make the uniform where it's obviously in a nice fashion, I guess. Maybe pick nice colors, you know, kind of make a thing, let all the students put their input on colors. That'll be nice.
And I just have to jump in. If uniforms are a thing now, I don't think it's fair to make girls wear skirts. I think that you should pick,
another
you know,
option,
the team
with,
colors or whatever, but the girl could wear like a brown pair of pants or a brown skirt.
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I'm not with the, oh, just because you're female, you have to wear, you know, skirts.
Sure.
No, obviously not. But I think it just litigates a lot of the other extra nonsense that goes on as it is already in schools.
Yeah.
You know, that I think, you know, just uniforms straight across the board. I pay so much in taxes and to register my kids in school, and I'm like, I'm so tired of even buying them so many clothes.
Well, you'd save so much money, and there are people that can't afford, I just know in high school, there were things you couldn't afford that your friends had, and then you'd feel...
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, that's why I said it litigates a lot of that stuff, the you know, the this girl can't afford or this kid can't afford this clothes or whatever. I think it will eliminate a little bit of some of that bullying that goes on, because my nieces went through that in school.
Yeah.
Because they weren't dressed up to par, I guess, to high school par and everything, and they were constantly getting bullied over their clothes and
Robert,
not wearing the right shoes.
We have to run, but thanks so much for the input.
Yeah.
We'll appreciate
it. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Robert.
Don't you think every generation, though, we've always complained, these kids today with their music and with their clothing and stuff like that. That's since the beginning of time. We all have a hard time dealing with the next generation's fashions and music sense, you know?
Although, and maybe I'm an old biddy. All right, I am.
Maybe.
But there are a lot of sexy outfits going to high school these days.
Yeah.
There was like an occasional girl in my high school who would have like a low-cut shirt or something.
Yeah. But now it's every day.
It does seem like it's, you know, showing more skin.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
All right, I am an old biddy.
Who said you were? All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll hand over the reins to Steve Bertrand. We're headed toward the stream. Come with us there or stick around. It's up to you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And next up, too, the stories that matter with Eric Rung. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.